going to hold on to these ones. Okay, thank you. Welcome, everybody, to the regular meeting of the Fairhope City Council, 6 p.m. Thursday, July 11th. It is our custom to have a moment of silence and the Pledge of Allegiance at the start of our meetings, which tonight will be led by Councilperson Amy Aller.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the roll, please.
Councilperson Aller.
Present.
Councilperson Azar. Councilperson Crossan.
Present.
Councilperson Devon.
Here.
Councilperson Elliott.
Here.
Councilperson Garrison.
Here.
Councilperson Morris.
Here.
Councilperson Nasser.
Present.
Councilperson Nation.
Here.
Eight are present, one is absent.
Thank you. I might just say as we start tonight that we are going to move a couple of agenda items. Resolution 10 will be moved to just before we consider the tax abatements for confirmation. And Special Ordinance 15 will be moved to the last item on the agenda. That said, we have 30 minutes of time for public comment on items which are not on the agenda. If you are here to speak on a particular item, you'll have an opportunity when that item is called up for consideration. But if you would like to speak to us on an item that is not on the agenda, you may do so now. We ask that you limit your remarks to about 3 minutes, and I'm going to be pretty controlling on that tonight because we do have a very long agenda and some very important items on it. We ask that you give your name and your address when you come to the podium. Thank you.
My name is Donald Wayne Hyde. I live at 1411 Poplar Street, Terre Haute, Indiana. Tonight is an important night for you and for everybody in the city and county of Bigo. What you're going to decide is going to affect everybody, no doubt about it, in many different ways. I am not going to talk until later about the one thing I came to talk about. Instead, I want to talk about something that's not on the agenda, and I hope it's on your minds, the nine of you, it should be. I've been coming to these meetings for a year and a half, and I have been speaking, and I've been told by a few friends of mine that I actually accept their advice on. But I haven't been very clear. So I'm going to try and clarify what I mean by certain things. The safety net issue. I don't think I've clarified what the safety net is that we need for this town. The problem is, my definition of the safety net is one, and the truth of the matter is, if I really think about it, well, there must be a dozen safety nets that need to be in this town, and I'm referring to only a couple. What we're going to talk about tonight, and you're going to decide something about, will tie up some of the city funds for the next 20 years and the county funds for the next 20 years. And whether you agree with it or I don't agree with it and everybody in town don't agree with it one way or the other, it doesn't matter. What does matter is this, and this is what I want you to think about more important than anything else, including what you think about those programs. What we have to run any safety net, no matter who runs it, is leadership. But more important than that, we have to have followers. I'll give you one demonstration real quick. I was in from age 11 or 12 to 18 and then stayed on as an adult in the best Boy Scout troop that was ever held in Black County in the city of Terre Haute, Troop 3. The reason it was the best is you could not have that Boy Scout troop today. Because our world has changed. Back in the 60s and 70s, one parent worked, earned enough income, and left the mother free to watch the kids and help them out. It also left uncles and other people free Therefore, there were all kinds of volunteers. And the Boy Scout Troop 3 was so great was because it had anywhere from 35 to 75 members at any one time. And I can remember going to Boy Scout camp and 10 to 12 fathers camped with us as assistants or helped out. We had that kind of help. That's why so many people got to the rank of Eagle Scout. It was the best Boy Scout troop, period. Now, were there better ones? Yeah, there might have been. I didn't see them. But here's the thing. The reason it was that way was because of all the help. The help. People volunteer. People care about whatever. But they actually volunteered. They did stuff. They didn't just talk, show up and vote. They actually did things, carried out things. And I'm going to tell you right now, the people that were in Troop 3 are leaders now throughout the state. I can name five that are leaders at country levels. They literally hold jobs in Congress. I didn't say they were congressmen. I said they hold jobs helping out congressmen, local, teachers, you name it. Why? Because people cared. They got involved. What this town needs is to go back to finding ways to get people to care about our community.
Thank you.
That's all for now.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment on a non-agenda item? If not, we'll move on with our agenda. Michelle? Are there any corrections to the journal?
There are none.
Any communication from the mayor?
I did not receive any.
We do have, I'm exercising a little right here. I do have a report from a city from an official. It's not a city official, it's a county official. And I've asked Brendan Kearns to come. Last month we had some comments by one of our firefighters, Norm Loudermilk, about some homeless issues, and he raised some issues that I knew that Mr. Kearns had been working on, and he's agreed to come tonight and give us just a few minutes of update on those. Thank you. And by the way, he's a county commissioner, so that's why I put him under the government official.
Is 30 minutes okay? Everybody. I always
well,
like
there is
to start
a crowd
off with
here
a great
that
joke.
Might not take to that too well, so.
President Crossan, members of the City Council, I do appreciate your time tonight. Recognizing that there are many discussion items this evening, I do appreciate the opportunity to address something that's very important to our community right now. In the spirit of time, I've simply made about, a few talking points just to throw out there to kind of illustrate what we are doing within the County Commissioner's Office and with other agencies to make the homeless situation better. Is that okay just to read off my list? And as all of you know, I don't do a very good job following the script. One of the things that we're focusing on right now is establishing a position of a homeless coordinator. We have many agencies within Vigo County that work to help the homeless. This often results in communication crossovers or people being missed. Some people are getting great service and some people are being missed. So I envision a point person within the county that can facilitate care, address needs, and that is a goal of mine to get through as a county position in partnership with the health department. Recognizing that we're in our budget period right now for 2020, I don't see that happening for 2020, but I hope that we have something established by 2021. And that may be something that the city may be involved with, too. And I apologize. I do have a bad cold, so let me see. We do have 4 soup kitchens right now that do provide food for the homeless in our community and for those that simply need to eat and may not have the means to buy their own food. We have several organizations in town that pass out brown bag lunches on Fridays and on the weekends to help them have food. To illustrate, one soup kitchen, Rives Hall, is servicing about 200 people a day right now. A couple of organizations provide clothes through what we consider or know of as a clothes closet to assist homeless people in need. We have one food bank, and we have several food pantries. Food pantries are open intermittently. Food banks are more consistent. We have many advocates that are creating awareness about our homeless issue through walks and education discussions. We have many advocates that assess homeless directly for services with a goal of trying to house them. What I've learned since I've been involved with the homeless over the last 4 years is that many of these people simply want to be alone and not in a shelter or taken care of. I consider them to be professional homeless because when I interact with them, they make it very clear they're fine. They want to be left alone, and it's the lifestyle they've chose. Excuse me. We have organizations locally that are trying to raise funds for services to buy bus passes. You'll have people that are trying to get, let's say, to St. Louis. Something happens on the way from Indianapolis to St. Louis, and they're stuck. All they need is some money to get the Greyhound bus ticket, and so there are people that will actually either pay for it directly or through a fund that's been developed. We're working on a hot team. A hot team is a term for groups of people that actually go out to the camps or common areas for homeless like Gilbert Park or the library during the day and provide stuff for them, whether it be personal hygiene items, clothing, food vouchers, any kind of services they need. We currently estimate there are between 300 to 400 people sleeping outside tonight in Vigo County, or what we would consider to be homeless. We were set on that number of 300 this time last year. After Mr. Loudermilk approached the council, Danielle Elkins with the Bethany House, I think, was quoted in a Tribune Star article that she estimates there's about 400 people. Danielle and I met the next day to discuss the situation. July 19th, we have organized a volunteer count where we'll have approximately, we hope, 60 people at key locations throughout the county to assess how many homeless we actually have. We know we're going to miss a lot of people, but this is going to be a very non-invasive questionnaire where we approach them, ask them if they need help, provide some water hygiene items for them, but just try to get their name so we don't duplicate, but I'll kind of find out what their situation is. There is, I'm off script, there is a situation with the homeless community that I discovered while taking care of some people along the river 2 weeks ago. When the article went out, we lost a lot of trust with our efforts, if I'm making sense here. You would think that homeless people are not connected to what's going on in the community. They are extremely connected. They almost all have phones. Their phones may not be working, but they have Wi-Fi connectivity. They spend their day at the Vigo County Library, the Cunningham Memorial Library at ISU. They are connected. When it went out that a firefighter, and I'm not doing this, I appreciate Norm approaching you because it increased the awareness. But when that message got out, it created a sense of fear within the homeless communities. Camps dissolved. They moved out. They're along I-70 now. They're along Margaret Avenue. The west bank of the Wabash River is a very popular spot for the homeless camps right now. They got out of the city limits. They're coming in the city during the day for services. You got to think about it. These people were hiding in areas that we didn't know about. They were close to services. They were close to the hospitals. They were close to the food pantries, the clothing shelters, and now they've been pushed out, which may be what some people wanted. It also resulted in them vacating their camps entirely, and you're seeing more of them along Wabash Avenue, from downtown all the way out to Rural King, and along Poplar Street. They are sleeping out in the day. They are laying up against buildings. They are packing their goods behind businesses. That's created a whole new issue where business owners have contacted me saying this has to stop. It's affecting our business. It's making our community look bad. So we have to do something. the person that I talked to in the Wabash River made it very clear. We're done. We don't want anybody else's help. You guys are after us. It took a while for me to have a discussion with him to kind of bring him back a little bit. As a result of that, I gave him trash bags and gloves, and I encouraged them to clean up their camps. Because I shared with them that one of the issues is that the homeless community is creating a health hazard within the city. So we've tried to be proactive by providing the goods to clean up the stuff. We get the materials from our solid waste district. We've been passing those out, and they've been doing it. They've been packing up their camps. They've been putting the waste out, and County Highway Department has been cleaning up the camps. I recently sent the county, or I asked Community Corrections to clean up a camp underneath the Highway 40 bridge. Several truckloads of trash were taken out of there. So we are working proactively to clean the messes up. We're also working on extreme temperature program. We can all recognize how uncomfortable we are right now. Just imagine it being 20 degrees hotter and we don't have a place to go. The polar vortex issue, several of us got together to create an emergency shelter. If that effort was not done, people would have died over those 2 days. I mean, I think we've lost 18 homeless people this year that have died in Vigo County. It could be 19, I'm not sure, but some people are getting missed on care. We're working on a day drop-in center. That's a place for homeless to have an address, a place for services, a place where they can meet with a mental health professional if needed. An address is important because some of the homeless are looking for jobs. Well, if they don't have an address, it makes it more difficult for them to obtain employment. We're also working on a take anyone shelter that would be government sponsored, and that's where we get this plan together. We're going to need to work together on this to get this done. We have many shelters here, but there are rules that a lot of these people cannot abide by. It's not that they don't want to. Something is amiss, and they cannot do it. So we envision a shelter where people can be housed temporarily until housing is established. There's a homeless coalition that meets every third Thursday at 11 p.m. at Rives Hall. There's approximately 16 organizations that attend that monthly meeting. Public officials, members of the public also attend. The county commissioners recently hosted a career fair at the Booker T. Washington Center. An ulterior motive that I had was to get some of the people from the shelter across the street to come over and apply. I don't think I was successful in that venture, but I will continue to pursue it. It's a problem that has a remarkable increase over the last 2 years. Many of us are working on solutions and proactive measures. Having the opportunity to address you this evening is an example of how we can collectively improve this situation. Through volunteers, faith-based organizations, community leaders, and office holders, we can definitely make this better. What I don't want people to do is have the perception that homeless are trying to burn down Terre Haute. It's not true. These people are in a bad situation. I was in Duluth, Minnesota, one of the most beautiful cities in the United States, over the weekend. Their homeless population is about 1,600. And I'm thinking, why would you want to be up here in Duluth, Minnesota, when there's snow on the ground half the year? I was in Key West not too long ago, in the wintertime. They have a huge homeless population. To me, that makes sense. But why are they in Terre Haute? Why are our numbers increasing? Media accountings 4 years ago would have said we have about 60 people sleeping outside. How did we get to 400? And that's people that are sleeping outside. We have to think of all the people that we have living in homes within Terre Haute, in Vigo County for that matter, that have absolutely no utilities. So they're good people that need help, and I think within our hearts we all want to help in some form. So that's my update, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Sure.
Does anybody have any questions or anything?
No. Yeah. Okay. Brenda, what do you picture the coordinator position that you're going to try and get initiated? What is the role of that position going to do?
To mainly work with all the agencies in town. 3 years ago, I attended the Homeless Coalition meeting, and what I noticed was a lot of great organizations that were not communicating. there was no true leader in the sense that each agency was doing its own thing, and a lot of them were doing the same things. When I ran for county council, I thought I could implement this. I realized how powerless that position was as a county council member. I could help towards funding the position, but that was about it. When I was elected commissioner, I saw this as a golden opportunity for me to make a big difference in this community by taking what I recognized 3 years ago and making it more effective. So that's, I don't know if I'm really answering your question, but we do not have a person to go to. I mean, I've become it, you know, and I'm okay with that. On this last trip, I dealt with four issues, homeless related, where code enforcement was concerned because, I mean, I'll be extremely candid, people were defecating along a building in the downtown district, and they wanted to know what was going to be done. Well, they're contacting me about it. And that's fine. I'm glad they are. But I would like to have somebody in an official capacity that works in the commissioner's office and is partnered with the health department to be that point person.
So would they help with transitioning from homelessness to helping with jobs?
No.
Because I've toured a couple of facilities here, and one of the things that struck me was when I would ask some of the residents how long they've been there, and they were there for 9 months, 12 months, 15 months. That's a little concerning that we're not transitioning them to, you know.
Oh, you mean in the homeless shelters?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've helped several people get jobs that are homeless. It doesn't work out. One particular individual, great guy, life just went sideways for him during that period. Heavy substance abuser, he's pulled out of it. When I go to check on him, he'll have self-help books of some sort within his tent. I got him a great job lined up, and he didn't show up. So I called Michael, and I said, dude, what's up? He goes, well, my scooter was broke down. I said, you could have texted me. I would have taken you there. Well, it's excuse after excuse. Mm-hmm. That is not uncommon. It's not that they don't want to work. Some of them don't, but they can't. Not everybody's that way, of course, but a lot of people are in this situation. I mean, nobody wants, other than professional homeless that I shared, they don't want to be in that situation. But something has gone wrong. The key thing, Karen, is that we need to capture them and get them the services they need. I mean, Martha, you and I, well, we have a lot of downtown friends here. Pete Wilson back here, mm-hmm. Pete used to have a guy that would hang out at his coffee shop every day. And I don't know if you remember, I'm not going to say his name, but I gave him a T-shirt. And me giving him that T-shirt, that was the biggest thing in the world for him. He ended up getting off his medication, and he decided to hitchhike to Florida. You know what I'm talking about. And he fell asleep in a car wash outside of Birmingham, Alabama, because he was tired. And that morning, he turned the car wash on, and it killed him. So that was one of our Terre Haute. And he wasn't necessarily homeless. I think he was living in the Deming Center at the time. But he got off his medications. And, you know, that's one of the things where a day shelter can help, that you have the person from Hamilton Center. I mean, Kelly Fuller, if you know Kelly, she's an absolute angel. She is helping so many people out there. And we'll communicate at 10 o'clock at night because she'll need help with something, a tent, a sleeping bag, whatever. But she is out there trying to help these people, make sure that they're getting the mental health care that they need. You know, all this, these problems started when the state shut down the mental health hospitals, and they pushed it off. It's the same thing with the jail, which you're going to talk about later. Jail populations increased when level six offenders were kicked out of the state correctional facilities. So now counties have to house them. Money is not being put towards mental health care. As a result, people aren't being captured and they're on the streets. So people like the banks here in town contact me and says, hey, how can you help us? We don't want to kick these people out, but what can we do? If you go to St. Joe's Church this evening and you go in that beautiful garden with those statues, you'll have six people sleeping out there tonight. You'll have some people behind Todd's buildings. And these are people that just need captured, and it's a barbaric word, but they need to get somebody to reach out and help them to get that care that they need. This homeless coordinator will help facilitate that. You have some angels that are policemen in this community. These guys take care of a lot of homeless, and nobody knows about it. They're passing out sleeping bags. They're buying the $5 gift cards at McDonald's go a long way. Well, actually, not as much anymore. I think the number four is $5.41. But you know, there are a lot of angels in this community, but we need a government person to do this role.
I agree. Thanks, Brendan, for everything you're doing.
Sure. Anybody else? I talked to a lot of you guys about this individually. So
yeah.
When Martha approached me about this, where was I? Do you recall?
You were at a camp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Brendan. I think that gives us a lot more information. I know it's hard to talk about a very complex and
realistically
large problem in just a few minutes.
Yeah.
But I thought, given that it was raised here, it was important for us to get a little more information about it. And to the extent that we are capable, I'm sure many of us would be happy for you to reach out to us in the future.
And all of you have. I mean, Karen gave me a helping hand a while back when I needed a place for storage. So it's all of you guys have been involved in this in some aspects. I appreciate you.
And also, I just want to agree that I know all of us have worked with various organizations in town that have some aspect of service for people who are homeless for a wide variety of reasons, and there are lots of people out there working very hard to be of assistance, but it's a very complex issue. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Move on then with the agenda. Any reports from the Board of Public Works and Safety?
I did not receive any.
Any reports from standing committees? Non-standing committees? None? Any items previously tabled?
No.
Okay.
I believe you wanted to move Resolution 10.
Right. And, I did say that earlier, so that would be what's up next, I think. So if you would read that.
Resolution 10, 2019, designating a portion of Garfield Avenue as the Franklin Hamlin II Memorial Way.
Councilperson Morris, would you like to speak on this?
Sure, I would be happy to. We've got Frank's sister here and his nephew from Oklahoma present and their family. You know, we have the Olympic Square in 12 Points, but there's another well-known athlete from Garfield, and I thought we're in the process of course, I got a shoulder guy next to me, though, so I have to be careful in what I say. But we think we need to honor Frank Hamlin by designating the area on Garfield Avenue from Maple Avenue to Barbara Avenue, which is the length of the property that was Garfield High School was on. And Frank, being the number three scorer of Garfield, he was an NBA coach, Susan, how many years? 42 years. He had 7 championship rings, which I tried every one of them on. And but Frank was would come home to Terre Haute all the time. Loved Terre Haute, loved his family, loved Terre Haute immensely. So we thought we would honor Frank with this memorial way. Only thing I would ask is if we made a sign purple and white. So
That's in the official record now.
Yeah,
so
that's
the street department.
The request
will be
there.
In charge of that. Okay.
And again, we're not changing the name of Garfield Avenue. We're just putting a Memorial Way sign on. Okay.
Thank you. Any questions or anybody from the public who'd like to make any statement on this matter?
So if there's no, I would move that we approve Resolution 10, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Morris, seconded by Councilperson Garrison, that we approve Resolution 10, 2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is approved, and thanks to the family for coming tonight. We appreciate that. Next item of business.
Thank you.
Resolution 7-2019, designating an area commonly identified as 4150 East Stilton Avenue, Terre Haute, Indiana, 47805 as an economic revitalization area for the purpose of a 10-year real property tax abatement. Pyrolex USA Indiana LLC Corporation. This is for confirmation.
Petitioner.
Jeff Lind, Lind Law Firm, here for Pyrolex. Resolution 7 is a final request for final action on real property tax abatement. Resolution 8 is a request for final action on the personal property tax abatement that we dealt with last month. If you have any other questions, Tom Redd is here again.
Okay. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on Resolution 7, 2019?
Yes, Donald Hyde. I would simply like to ask the petitioner if he'd give more details of what his business does, and I don't necessarily need to know why they need the tax thing. I just need to know more about the business. Thank you.
Mr. Hyde, I might just say, certainly, Tom, you're more than welcome to come up and speak on that, but this is something that we actually approved the underlying document for last month. And I believe he did tell you about their business last month.
So correct. He explained the process.
Yes. So if you'd like to hear that again, we can have Tom come up and do that quickly. But
Hi. Tom Redd, CEO of Pyrolex USA. President Crossan, council members, it's great to see you again. So we operate, it's basically a high-tech recycling technology where we're recycling tire rubber into carbon black and other raw materials for the rubber, for the local rubber and plastics industry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comments, council?
Madam President?
Yes.
If there are no further questions or comments, I move for approval of Resolution 7, 2019. Oh, I'm sorry. I move that we confirm Resolution 7, 2019.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nation, seconded by Councilperson Morris, that we confirm Resolution 7, 2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so confirmed. Michelle?
Resolution 8, 2019, designating an area commonly identified as 4150 East Stilton Avenue, Terre Haute, Indiana, 47805 is an economic revitalization area for the purpose of a 10-year personal property tax abatement. This is also for confirmation.
Jeff Lind, Lind Law Firm, again here for Pyrolex. Resolution 8 is the personal property tax abatement for the same project for final action.
Any comments from the public? Council?
Madam President?
Yes.
I move that we confirm Resolution 8, 2019 as presented.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Garrison, seconded by Councilperson Nassar, that we confirm Resolution 8, 2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so confirmed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next item.
Appropriation 7, 2019, $4,465 from edit number 04040096 to demo of unsafe buildings number 432018.
Petitioner.
President Crossan, member of the council, Phil Kestner with the Department of Redevelopment. These funds are recaptured from lien repayments that we'd like to have them transferred back to the edit demo funds to continue with the demolition of condemned properties.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on Appropriation 7, 2019? Council?
Madam President,
yes.
I make a motion we take action on Appropriation 7, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we take action tonight on Appropriation 7, 2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We can take action.
Madam President.
Councilwoman Oliver.
I move that we approve Appropriation 7, 2019 as presented.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilwoman Oliver, seconded by Councilman Nassar, that we approve Appropriation 7, 2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so approved.
Thank you.
I might just say for the public, those of you who don't come often, if it's an item that's on our first reading, we have to vote on it. So that's what's going on here. Okay. Next item of business.
Appropriation 8, 2019, $3,150 from edit number 0404-0096 to demo of unsafe buildings, number 432018.
Petitioner.
Phil Kessner again from the Department of Redevelopment. This again is a lien repayment that we'd like to see reallocated to the demo edit line item.
Anyone from the public like to comment on Appropriation 8, 2019? Council?
Madam President.
I'd like to make a motion that we take action on appropriations 8 through 12 this evening, if I may. I know we've done that in the past. And
second.
It's been moved and seconded that we take vote on appropriations 8 through 12, 2019. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So approved. So we may take action on these appropriations. So we already have appropriation 8 in front of us.
Madam President?
Yes.
There's no further questions. I move that we approve appropriation 8, 2019 as presented.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilwoman Aller, seconded by Councilman Devon, that we approve appropriation 8, 2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so approved. Next
Thank
item
you.
Of business.
Appropriation 9, 2019, $70,300 from EMS non-reverting number 02700027 to transfer from EMS non-reverting 0511000039122.
Petitioner.
President Crossan, members of the council, Jeff Fisher, fire chief. This is the annual transfer of 5% from EMS to training non-reverting. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on appropriation number 9? Council?
Madam President,
yes.
I move approval of appropriation 9, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Garrison, seconded by Councilwoman Aller, that we approve appropriation 9, 2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item of business.
Appropriation 10, 2019, $182,429.23 from EMS non-reverting 02700027 to principal on note number 439178 for $152,198.39 and to interest on note number 439179 for $30,230.84.
Petitioner.
President Crossan, members of council, Jeff Fisher, fire chief. This here is the first of six payments for our new ambulances. This was placed in our budget, but it was not placed in the principal and the note. So this is just appropriation into those two line items.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on appropriation 10, 2019? Council?
Pardon.
Yes.
President. Jeff, was this, did you say this was not in our budget?
This is in my EMS non-reverting budget. It is in the budget, but it's not in those two line items. This is just appropriating into those two line items so we can make our payments on our new ambulances.
Was it in the budget that we approved last fall?
It was in the EMS, yes, in the capital plan. I don't know if you've seen the capital plan or not, but this was in there.
But this looks like an additional appropriation to me, which indicates it was not in the budget we approved last fall.
The reason that was done was when we sent out our specs for financing, the specs come back. We always do our specs in arrears when we do our financing. This come back, it was not in arrears, it was for this year. So we do have to appropriate this into the EMS budget, but I have it in my budget. I'm just appropriating into these two line items.
Leslie, would you like to make a comment on that? Is that okay?
Yep.
It was included in the capital plan, but it was not appropriated with the budget.
Okay.
So this is to appropriate it into the line items.
It's not in, okay.
Correct.
That's
Does that make sense?
That's what I thought he was saying, and you confirmed it.
Okay.
Thank you for bailing me out.
Got it.
Okay.
I yield.
Any other questions?
I guess that was counting talk there.
Madam President,
above my.
I move for approval of Appropriation 10, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilwoman Garrison, seconded by Councilwoman Aller, that we approve Appropriation Number 10, 2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
So approved. Next item of business.
Appropriation 11, 2019, $20,000 from Public Safety Lit PD number 07510017, purchase of vehicles number 444080.
Petitioner.
Madam President, members of the council, this is a $20,000 that was received for trade-in values, excuse me, for old and decommissioned vehicles when we made the purchase of our new police vehicles.
For just purposes of the record, would you give us your name? We know who you
I'm
are.
I'm sorry, Steve Lockhart, Terre Haute Police Department, Fleet Manager.
Thank you, Steve. Is there anybody in the public who would like to comment on Appropriation 11?
Unless I misunderstood it, you're buying a vehicle. I'd like to know if you bought the vehicle, how well it does.
Yeah, we purchased 17 vehicles so far this year. These appropriations would help to go towards the purchase of the final three in our vehicle plan for this year to make it 20. We have 12 marked vehicles, three of which are canine, and five unmarked, with three additional unmarked for detectives coming in the coming months. We traded in and or sold to the buyer 35 vehicles that were either too unsafe, holes in the floorboard, exhaust leaks, everything else you could name. I'm sure you've seen some of them on the street. Hopefully get rid of a lot of those in the future, get some safer, more reliable vehicles that are under warranty to reduce our maintenance costs as well. This is $20,000 that we got from the sale of those older vehicles to the dealer that sold us the new ones.
Okay. Any questions?
Steve?
Yes.
Could you tell us what color those unmarked cars are so we can look for them?
They are varying in color.
Madam President, I move for approval of Appropriation 11, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilman Garrison, seconded by Councilman Morris, that we approve Appropriation Number 11, 2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So approved. Steve, your good sense there kept your job. Next item of business.
Appropriation 12, 2019, $5,830 from PSLIT PD, other revenue, number 07510017003900010, to purchase of vehicles number 444080.
Petitioner.
Madam President, members of the Council, Steve Lockhart, Terre Haute Police Department. This is a money that we received from the sale of 31 scrap vehicles that were sitting around gathering dust, used for parts for a number of years. They were no longer usable to us. You may have seen, if you've ever been up at the fire maintenance facility up on North First Street, the trees growing up through some of them. They had sat for so long, we decided that they were no longer usable. Get them out of there, so we sold them all as scrap.
Any comments from the public on Appropriation Number 12? Council?
Madam President, move for approval of Appropriation 12, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilman Garrison, seconded by Councilman Nation, that we approve Appropriation Number 12, 2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item of business, please.
Special Ordinance 13, 2019, rezoning a property located at 920 North 25th Street, 2415, 2421, 2423, 2425, 2427, 2431, 2435, 2439 First Avenue, and 2446 through 2448 Locust Street. Area planning gave a favorable with conditions recommendation. You have a copy before you, and I do believe there is a proposed amendment.
Petitioner.
Madam President, fellow members of the Council, my name is Richard Shagley. I'm with Wright, Shagley & Lowry, and as Madam Clerk indicated, we do have an amendment, if I may approach and pass that out.
Sure.
Uh, Tonight, I'm here for the petitioner. The petitioner's Data Point. Data Point owns a business called Rose Hill Landscaping. They're currently located on this property. And I don't know how familiar you are with this property. There's an existing building, I think, as you'll see in her site plan. And then it goes pretty far west, and it's a vacant lot. It is their intention to rezone that into an R1 plan development for the purpose of going along with the landscaping business. As I'm sure you're aware of this area, it's a mixed use. You've got commercial, you've got manufacturing, you've got just a little bit of everything. And that's what kind of creates the hardship here. There are, as Michelle read, there are several pieces of property. A portion of this will be rezoned C6 for the business, and the other portion, the back portion, would be R1 plan development. As indicated, this did go in front of the area plan on July 3rd. There was no opposition to this, nor have we received any communications at our office, nor have, in following up with the area plan office, there has been no opposition. The reason for the amendment that we're going to request tonight is, although we were clear in the application and the petition, in one section where we indicate the use of the property, we had indicated all allowable uses, and we tightened it up to say for landscaping business and related activities. As you know, at the plan development, one of the benefits of the plan development is if this no longer is used for this purpose, it reverts back to the R1, protecting the neighbors. And the one nice thing about this, one of the many nice things about this project is, this will be a commercial use of budding residential area, but the portion that's going to be abutting is going to be used for storage, whether it's equipment or materials. And the nature of the business is landscaping, although they have plenty of parking. Personally, there's not a lot of times I drive by landscaping and stop in and just say hi and look around. This is they go out. People don't come to it. So I don't think it's going to have a dramatic effect on the traffic or the neighbors, because this is also a daytime business. This isn't going to be a nighttime. Things are going on. It's a quiet business. So I think for the most part, except for a new fencing, there won't be any ill effects to the neighbors. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on Special Ordinance 13?
I'd like to clarify where they're heading. And I say this not because I'm being stubborn or anything else. I'm truly wanting to make sure we fully understand where the land they're getting is going to be rezoned and reused within a year or two, unless I'm mistaken or misunderstood it. So I'd like him to explain exactly where this land is, because if it is on 8th Avenue, there's going to be a big change soon.
I'd be happy to provide Mr. Hyde with a copy of the site plan, which shows on the west side they're going to have the storage units.
We're
in 8th Avenue. Not in your backyard, not your problem?
No,
I get
it's
it.
Not.
So. Yeah. Absolutely.
Is there anyone else in the public who would like to speak on Special Ordinance 13, 2019? Council?
Madam President?
Yes.
Richard, I spent a little bit of time with this site plan, and I just want to confirm that I'm understanding what I'm seeing. As I look at it, it looks like the two corners, the corner of Locust and 25th and the corner of First Avenue and 25th, are what you're asking to zone commercial.
That's correct. Commercial is going to be up 25th, and basically the red back and the fencing will be the R1 plan development.
Yeah, we have a grace layout, so it's not that easy.
I apologize. We had submitted a new one because apparently it didn't copy well.
I don't need to see that. I can tell after, like, reading the legal descriptions and matching up addresses, I can tell what's going on here. But thanks. I mostly wanted to ask for the benefit of my fellow council members if they hadn't figured this out. Yeah.
Easier to read.
And that's it. I yield. I understand that.
Are there any other questions from Council for?
And I apologize for that. I did not realize it copied well. We had provided additional copies, and apparently they didn't keep moving up the chain, so I apologize for that.
I might remind Council that to act on this evening, we will need to vote, and we will also need to vote them in.
Madam President?
Yes.
I make a motion that we take action on Special Ordinance 13, 2019.
Second. It's been moved by Councilman Nassar and seconded by Councilman DeMond that we take a vote on Special Ordinance 13, 2019. This evening, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We can vote.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to amend Special Ordinance 13, 2019.
I'll second.
It's been moved by Councilman Morris and seconded by Councilman DeMond that we amend Special Ordinance number 13, 2019 as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It is so amended.
Madam President.
Thank you.
We have to do this again, right? As amended. Special Ordinance number 13 as amended.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilman Morris and seconded by Councilman Garrison that we approve as amended Special Ordinance number 13, 2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It is so approved.
Thank you very much.
Next item of business.
Special Ordinance 16, 2019, rezoning a property located at 629 South 9th Street. Area planning gave a favorable with conditions recommendation, and you will have another proposed amendment.
Give the petitioner again.
Yes. Madam President, Richard Shagley with Wright Shagley & Lowry, and I'm here tonight with the petitioner, Felix Property. If it's okay, may I approach and pass out the amendment?
Of course.
Again, good evening. We're here tonight requesting that this property be rezoned. It's currently rezoned for a C2, and we would like it to be, if possible, zoned to C2 plan development. Felix Property is the current owner, as I indicated. There is currently a purchase agreement pending this approval. Darn Beer Incorporated is wanting to purchase this property to build and operate a brewery and sell beer in this facility. As you know, on 9th Street, we already have one brewery. We have another one that's, I think, ready to go. I don't know if it's a brewery. I think it might be a liquor brewery.
Distillery.
And this would be just the third of brewery for what I think will now be our new brewery district. And, you know, they are asking for the plan development. Again, this is for the protection of neighbors. That if it isn't used for this, it reverts back to the C2. And as you know, in this area, there's manufacturing, there's residential, there's already commercial. It's a mixed use. You know, it borders the different areas. And because of that, the property kind of creates a hardship. And, again, that's one of the basis and reasons for asking for the plan development. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have. And again, this went primary plan on July 3rd. We had one neighbor that did attend and just had some questions, which I think we answered that night. And I, it was my understanding he left that night pleased or not angry, either way. So sometimes there's a difference. So, again, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on Special Ordinance 16, 2019? Council?
Madam President?
Yes.
First, I will be abstaining from a vote. The buyers are clients of mine. Okay. But having said that, I'm really excited about this project. I as Mr. Shagley suggested, I think it kind of brings a brewery district to the downtown area, and I think the potential of that happening only brings good things to that area. I yield.
Madam President? Richard, this is the first that I've seen the amendment, the proposed amendment, and I just briefly compared it to what's been in our packets for, you know, weeks now, and I couldn't tell what was different.
I'm sorry.
Please tell us.
Amended, thrown in a few times, and then under A on the second page, again, we just clarified the use, and we said that the real estate shall be used for manufacturing and sale of alcohol beverages and related activities associated with manufacturing and sale of alcohol beverages. That was the that was the only change, along with the amended. We had taken out the language anything permitted, just to tighten it up for the fear that if this doesn't go in 6 months, they'll be able to go back and say you're not doing that. So.
Thanks. I had another question that is probably just semantics, but I'm curious about why alcoholic beverages, if it's a brewery, if it's beer. I thought that those were two separate licenses that are pursued at the state and federal level, and just curious about why alcoholic beverages and not just beer.
Well, I don't know exactly what permit they're going to go after, and they may have spirits as well. So the alcohol beverages.
if there are no further questions, I move that we vote on which one is this? Special Ordinance Number 16, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nation and seconded by Councilperson Elliott that we take a vote tonight, or that we vote to vote on the amendment. Excuse me, Special Ordinance 16, 2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We can now take action on this, but we will need to deal with the amendment first.
Madam President?
Yes.
I move that we amend Special Ordinance Number 16, 2019 as presented.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nation, seconded by Councilperson Morris, I believe, that we amend Special Ordinance 16, 2019 as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so amended.
Thank you.
Madam President?
Yes.
I move that we approve Special Ordinance Number 16, 2019 as amended.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nation, seconded by Councilperson Morris, that we approve Special Ordinance 16, 2019 as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is approved.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next item of business.
Special Ordinance 17, 2019, rezoning of property located at 1450 Wabash Avenue and 1451 Eagle Street. Area planning gave a favorable with conditions recommendation.
Petitioner.
Madam President, members of the council, my name is Lou Britton. I represent the Lighthouse Mission. Also here, representing the proposed owner, purchaser of this property from the Lighthouse Mission, Miller Parrott Lofts. Miller Parrott Lofts, LLC, is Gretchen Cheeseman with Clarity and Collins, and Sister Dawn Tomaszewski, who is also participating in the ownership, who is the, sorry, General Superior of the Sisters of Providence, who are also participating in the ownership of this project. Clarity and Collins is headquartered in Indianapolis. Since 1993, they've completed over $2 billion in development projects and have an ongoing pipeline of $1 billion in development. They manage over 100 properties and 17,000 multifamily units in 8 states. Plans call for converting the former Miller Parrott Baking Building, as a little test, how many of us are old enough to remember the Miller Parrott Baking Building when it was the Miller Parrott Baking Building? George isn't here, so.
I think I'm old enough, but I didn't live here.
In any event, we'll all say that we only recall it as its last use, the Lighthouse Mission. And plans are to convert that building to 54 elderly low-income housing units. The estimated construction cost is $9 million. Funding for this project has been acquired through the Indiana Housing and Community Development Association Authority, federal historic tax credits, Indiana Industrial Site Recovery Tax Credits, and home funds. I mention the historic tax credits in particular because that is a strong indication to the community that building will be rehabilitated in an historically sensitive way. It won't just be plastered over and look like something we don't want to look at. It will be restored to its former condition. You may recall that this property was rezoned last year as a planned development. However, that project included a use of 11,000 square feet of space as office space. In the interim, while they were acquiring their financing, the office space tenant has found another place to call home, and we've had to amend the planned development to exclude that use. It will now be exclusively used for elderly low-income housing. There's an apparent hardship for this building, hence the planned development. It's an obviously industrial building located in an area which would be completely ill-served for continued industrial use. It's extremely unlikely that anyone would ever locate an industrial use in that building in that location at this point in time. This project represents a unique opportunity to rehabilitate what could be beautiful structure and that could otherwise be easily lost. It also helps to continue the revitalization of the downtown Terre Haute area, and I hope that you will find it in your hearts to give it a favorable vote. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer. If I cannot, I'm sure that Gretchen Cheeseman with Flaherty and Collins or Sister Dawn can respond. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on Special Ordinance Number 17, 2019?
First of all, let me make it clear I'm for remodeling the building. With that said, though, I have questions, and I think they're fair questions that you have not addressed. You have said you're going to remake this into a housing for senior citizens and the elderly. No problem with that either. However, I know exactly where that building is, and I've gone by it all my life. I know that there's three problems that will have to be addressed, and I'd like to hear you address them. Let me help you out. Transportation, transportation, transportation. The senior citizens, you're going to have 80 of them in that building, have got to go shopping. The closest grocery store to them will be Kroger's East, right up Wabash. You're at 14th and Wabash, the sidewalks, other ways, maybe they'll come up with busing, I don't know. But you're going to have to work on the sidewalk in front of the building to make sure they have enough way and ability to go to Kroger's. Go the other way, and of course you've got to go across the street to the park, so I can see that as no problem. But let's just go with that one. I forgot what the other one was, but that one's the main one.
I think they were all three transportation, but the property is located on a city bus line, which will provide transportation for the public. There is also a large parking area at the back of the property so that those folks who have their own transportation will have a place to park that transportation.
Any other public comments?
Madam President, members of the Council, I'm Tommy Kleckner, Director of the Western Regional Office for Indiana Landmarks. Office is located at 669 Ohio Street. Indiana Landmarks is supportive of the requested action before the Council this evening when Lighthouse Mission closed and the decision was to divest the building. We were pleased to make early contact with Flaherty and Collins to make sure they were aware of this opportunity. An experienced developer that's invested substantially in communities of all sizes around the state and the Midwest. Given that experience and their ability to put together a relatively complicated financial plan for this project, we're very pleased that this building, one of the few industrial, historic industrial buildings along Wabash Avenue, the historic National Road, will be rehabilitated, reused, but with the use of the rehab tax credits, the historic character of that building will be retained. Indiana Landmarks was pleased to be able to assist in the National Register listing of this building, which opened up those federal rehabilitation tax credits. Again, we're supportive of the action. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public? Council?
Madam President.
Yes.
First, I'd like to just thank the people who are trying to make this happen. This is an important project. Not just for the building, but for housing in Terre Haute. And with that said, I'd like to move that we take action on Special Ordinance Number 17-2019 tonight.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nation, seconded by Councilperson Garrison, that we vote on this matter tonight. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We can take action.
Madam President.
Yes.
I move that we approve Special Ordinance Number 17-2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nation, seconded by Councilperson Morris, that we approve Special Ordinance 17-2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so approved.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very
much. Thank you, Rupert.
Next item of business.
Special Ordinance 18 of 2019, vacating a portion of a north-south public alley located between 658 Walnut to the west and 666 Walnut to the east. No problems were noted.
Petitioner.
Good evening. Madam President, fellow members of the City Council, my name is Gary Greiner. I'm the petitioner this evening. I'm requesting that we vacate an alley area between two buildings I own on Walnut Street, one at 666. I didn't address it. It came that way. And 658 Walnut Street. To put it in perspective, it's behind the Indiana Theater and next door to Jay Ford's restaurant at 7th and Walnut Street. I did bring a very large diagram just to point out clearly what we're talking about. Walnut Street, Indiana Theater. This is my building at 666, my building 658. I'm requesting to close this section right here. I'm presently maintaining that section as it is. I'm an antique car collector and collect Terre Haute memorabilia buses. Those buildings, that's what they have in them. I entertain a lot of people in the year. I do a lot of non-for-profit work there. I think it's a safety issue, and I would appreciate your attention with this. Any questions you have?
Are there anybody from the public who has a comment or question on Special Ordinance 18? Council?
Madam President?
Yes.
Gary, I'm sorry I haven't talked to you about this prior, and I have not asked you this question, but when we grant this vacation, what do you think about the curb cut for that alley across the sidewalk going away? Would that be okay?
I would support that, absolutely, yes.
Okay, because it would create another parking space out there, and that area is, in need of curbside parking. So
yeah, I would welcome that, actually.
Okay. I'm not saying that I can make it happen. I just wanted to...
Well, if you do, that would be great.
There's a promise.
Yeah. But to me, when I look at that particular situation, if we're going to give you control of the alley, I think it makes sense to give the public control of the curbside and the sidewalk there.
All right. Thank you.
And if there are no further questions or comments... I move that we take action tonight on Special Ordinance
18-2019. Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nation and jointly seconded by Councilperson Garrison and Haller that we haven't voted to vote on this yet, have we? That we take action on Special Ordinance 18-2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We can take action.
Thank you.
Madam President?
Yes.
I move for approval of Special Ordinance 18-2019.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nation and softly seconded by Councilperson DeBond that we approve Special Ordinance 18-2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so approved. Thank you,
Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
And you are working with it. Next item of business.
Resolution 11-2019, designating an area within Terre Haute, Indiana, commonly identified as 200 and 228 South 6th Street, Terre Haute, Indiana, as an economic revitalization area for the purpose of an 8-year real property tax abatement, 200 South 6th LLC. This is for adoption.
Petitioner.
Good evening, Madam President, fellow members of the council. My name is Richard Shagley. I'm with the law firm of Wright, Shagley & Lowry. And tonight I'm here again in front of you representing 200 South 6th LLC. This is, as you may recall, the YMCA building project. We were here last couple months on a 10-year tax abatement. As you also may recall, at last month's meeting, the 10-year tax abatement was rejected. And as a result, the petitioners in front coming back to you tonight for an 8-year tax abatement. As you may recall, there was some discussion that by some of the members that an 8-year might be acceptable. At the time, the petitioner wasn't sure if that would work. They've been able to go back and talk to their people, and they've been able to find, they hope, a source of revenue to make up that gap. There's a state facade grant that they have applied for. They don't know if they're going to be successful. But as I indicated last time, and that one thing that hasn't changed is there's a lot of moving parts to this piece, and this tax abatement is one of them. And now we've added another piece, and that is the state facade grant to help shore up that that shortcoming. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have. But I'd also, if there are no questions, or obviously I'd be happy to answer any questions, if possible, if we could have this table until the August 8th meeting, that would be acceptable to the petitioner. Unless you just want to vote to approve it tonight.
Are there any comments from the public on resolution number 11-2019?
Donald Hyde, 1411 Poplar Street. The former YMCA building is a historical landmark. I am for preserving. However, with that said, you've got a lot of work to preserve that building the correct way. And I have still not heard from the petitioners what they're going to do with the YMCA pool and the YMCA gym. How they're going to rearrange the inside of that building and keep the historical value of the building on both the outside and a little bit on the inside, they've not said anything. And I'd like to hear more detail about that before anything else. Thank you.
Any other comments from the public? Council? Or did you want to say anything, Mr. Jim?
Madam President, if there are no further comments, I move to table this until August the 8th.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nation, seconded by Councilperson Nassar, that we table resolution number 11-2019 until our regular scheduled meeting on August the 8th, 2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so tabled.
Thank you very much.
Next item of business.
Special Ordinance 15. Does anybody need a break?
Yeah. Excuse me. I think we just had a request from council that we have a short break, so we will have we'll meet back here at 7:25. Is that long enough? And proceed with this this special ordinance. Ready? Okay, next item of business.
Special Ordinance 15, 2019, rezoning a property located at 500 West Honey Creek Drive. You have a proposed amendment before you. Area planning gave a favorable recommendation with conditions. Petitioner.
Jeff Lynn, Lynn Law Firm, here for Culp Ventures. The petition is a request for rezoning of what would be Phase 1, Lot 1 of Honey Creek West subdivision from C3 to P Penitentiaries. The area plan, as noted, it gave a unanimous recommendation. The plat, the drawing of which is before you, was approved subject to zoning. So the lot right now is approximately 22 acres, has a meets and bounds description, but if zoning is approved, the plat will be recorded, and the legal description would be Phase 1, Lot 1, Honey Creek West subdivision. So 500 West Honey, on Honey Creek West. The prerequisites for this zoning classification are met by this 22-acre site, and there's an anomaly in the city zoning ordinance that you created the zoning classification but provided no location for that zoning classification. A designation of this site as Zone P Penitentiaries will fill that gap in the city's zoning map, as there's presently no such zoning area set aside for this use. Any questions? I'd like to reserve time at the end, both public comment and, of course, any questions from the commissioners. Any questions related to the end use of the property would need to be dealt with by the proposed purchaser, which is the county or an entity formed by the county. I did want to point out, can I do that? what we are talking about, what we're not talking about. So this Honey Creek Drive West, Prairie Avenue, the sewage treatment plant, this is the old golf course. The property is not on Honey Creek Drive. It is the 22 acres at the back, again, sewage treatment plant, underground. This is the back of one of the theaters. There's no windows at the back of the theater. We've all gone to the theater. I'd be surprised if you went to the back. But again, this is the property we're talking about. And a non-exclusive easement from Honey Creek Drive, of which the developer would pay one-third up to a certain amount. And Steve Shirley knows that amount. I forgot it.
So we do have a list here of folks who would like to make public comment on this matter, and I'm just going to go through that. You're not precluded from making a comment if you did not get your name on the list, but we will go through and have the persons who did get their name on the list have first crack at it. We will start through that list. Mr. Lynn, with no objection from the rest of council, while we're doing the public comment, could we move the map down so that we can see all the audience? Thank you so much. All right. The first person on the list is Don Hyde.
My name is Donald Wayne Hyde. I came here today to speak on this very subject. And it's the last chance we have to save the taxpayers a lot of money and the city of Terre Haute and Vigo County a lot of grief. I do not agree with putting the jail where they want to put it for three main reasons. First of all, it's the cost. We've got to buy land we don't need to buy if we build it where we should build it in the first place, being on our government land right outside here. One square block does exist. Two, we will not have to pay to have an engineering company from out of state probably come here and dig or plan how to put the sewer systems in, because the way the current new sewer systems we've paid a lot of money for will not allow them to hook directly up to the sewer line or the jail.
But the third and fourth reason are the main reasons. The third reason is pure decency. The third reason is pure decency. We're talking about building a jail literally on top of the sewer plant. Now, I've lived in Terre Haute a long time, and I've lived in Terre Haute when there were two businesses that went out on that highway, and oh my God, when they did their business, it stunk to high heaven. Now, granted, they're gone, and the smell's a lot better, but I remember that, and I'm not sure that in the summertime, it would be nice to have a jail or a public building that's going to be visited by citizens that close to the sewer plant. I think that they're going to be breathing air problems. But the fourth reason is the most important of all, and why you should just say no, period. In fact, it should be unanimous. We have had a downtown Terre Haute, and when I was a child, it was great in the 60s. Then all of a sudden, a group of investors decided they're going to build a new mall, and they're going to fix downtown city of Terre Haute's problem. And I was there, I heard the conversations, and the number one problem they had was, well, you know, you go out and go downtown Terre Haute, and it's great, but you got to walk in the rain. Or you got to be cold, wear your coat on, outdoors. If we build this new mall, we can control the temperature. You can go shopping in all the different stores, and you'll never get rained on until you go to your car. And we'll have enough land to build parking lots. And for 40 years, they did everything it could to kill downtown Terre Haute. We made a mistake doing that in the 60s. It killed downtown Terre Haute. And we've been spending two generations, going on three generations, to bring Terre Haute back. Now all of a sudden we got a mall, and the reason the Terre Haute's coming back is because the people that ran the mall were idiots. And I'm sorry, I really mean that word, idiots. They were worried about money and money only. And therefore the stores were closing down because of the rent and other things. And it got to the point where the only thing in the mall for 20 years was mainly buying clothes. Now, I'm not saying that that's not good. You go buying clothes, you go to the mall first. But that's all. When they first opened that mall, it was like going to a city. Colored. There was all kinds of stores there. Then it got down to where it was poorly managed. Now, a new company has bought the mall.
Mr. Hyde, could you bring your remarks around to the rezoning request? Thank you.
A new company has bought the mall. And they're going to put in some new leadership. They're going to get the stores reopened, and the mall is going to be back. And the city of Terre Haute is still benefiting from the way the stores are there. So we could have both. But if you locate a jail right directly behind the mall, I'm not sure the new investors or new companies will come in to that mall area and put in things, because the jail is going to be right there. Now, in downtown Terre Haute, the jail sits on government property. We're used to it being there. Well, I don't go shopping in downtown Terre Haute because I'm not going to go near the jail. I don't care. It's there. It's part of the landscape. I'm used to it being there, so I'll go to 4th and Wabash to a store I want to visit and do business there. Doesn't bother me. Now, if you build a brand new jail right behind the mall, that might be a different story. All I'm saying is that's something worth thinking about. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person on the list is Kevin Southwood.
Madam President?
Yes.
Could you remind everybody when they come to the mic that we need their address, too?
Yes. Thank you. If you didn't hear that, please state your name and your address.
My name is Kevin Southwood. I live here in Terre Haute. I got two things. First, I'd kind of like to make a decree where Mr. Hyde can only speak one time in public, and we put a gag order on him for 12 months. I know you think you're Terre Haute's treasure, but, you know, I believe that ought to be the Terre Haute cheerleading squad. Anyway, this is just an observation. It's about gay guys and lesbians. I hate lesbians, and I
Mr.
love gay.
Mr. Southwood, if you want to speak to this rezoning, you may speak to it, but that's what's on the agenda right here now, and I think we're all well served by not calling out people for various things.
Well, no, it's an odd observation on how guys think. You know, I'm not trying to say something derogatory to anybody. It's just, something
like... What are your remarks about the rezoning?
About the what?
The rezoning request. We'd be happy to hear those.
I don't have any remarks on them.
Well, then that's what we're taking remarks on right now. Thank you very much. The next person on the list is Millie Hoffman-Patrick. And again, please state your name and your address. Thank you.
Hi, Millie Hoffman-Patrick, 9613 East Old Fort Harrison Avenue, Terre Haute, Indiana, 47803. I'm here speaking on behalf of the Taxpayers Association of Vigo County. We are responding to the county's recent rezoning request for property proposed for the new jail location. For almost 3 years now, the apparent disregard for best use of tax dollars by county officials has been a chief concern of the Taxpayers Association. Our many communications and regular attendance at the county's meetings have demonstrated a willingness on our part to be a part of the solution, while the facts are that so many questions and concerns expressed have gone unanswered and unexplained. Last week, for example, the Taxpayers Association of Vigo County and the Citizens for Better Government in Vigo County co-sponsored two public forums regarding the use of such monies, and only one county official attended. That official, Councilwoman Lisa Spence-Bennett, immediate past president of the Taxpayers Association, has been asking questions since January and also has received few substantive answers. Last December, the council tried to backdoor approach, request to zone for a sheriff's office with a jail attached, to rezone the former IP property. Fortunately, your city council leadership denied this request. Your leadership allowed for a better and higher use of county property and funds. Moving the jail away from property we own and use for public safety purposes for more than a century adds millions of dollars, as well as additional security and inconvenience costs, to a proposed cost already twice the estimate of 3 years ago. The city police will have to transport there. Now comes the Vigo County School Corporation in dire need, first, of operational funding, and secondly, and more expensively, in need of a much larger investment in facilities in May of 2021. So on behalf of the taxpayers of Vigo County, we ask for your leadership again, as the fiscal body for 60,000 city residents, to refuse to enable a project still without a budget ceiling, due diligence, and truly studied answers. I will end with a quote from the United Way of the Wabash Valley's website. We all win when a child succeeds in school, when all families are financially stable, when people are healthy, and our neighborhoods are a place we are proud to call home. Rezoning the property will be a financial burden to all city and county residents. The Taxpayers Association of Vigo County would like to see the money spent on something that's a win for all. Please vote no on rezoning this property. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person on the list is Mike Gordon.
Thank you. My name is Mike Gordon, lifelong resident of this area. I live at 7916 East Fenway Drive. First off, I would just want to thank you for listening to us. This council has been one of the most receptive bodies and one of the most transparent bodies in the county, and that's really part of the problem here. So I thank you for what you've done. Furthermore, I want to understand, as four council members have pointed out to me individually, you can't choose a jail site. Apparently, right now in our county, there are only two people that are authorized and can choose a jail site. What you can do, however, is say no to a bad plan. And you've done that before with your zoning ordinances and things like that. This is a bad plan. It has not taken into account public opinion. It has basically kind of turned out to be an unchanging plan with different sites to land it on. In other words, we've got a very expensive plan that hasn't come down in cost at all over the years. And you can hear from certain county officials that, well, the delay has cost us even more. But the bottom line is they're still planning on building a huge jail and now moving it farther and farther away from the center of government. Certainly seems like a bad idea. And you have the authority to say no to a bad plan. So I would encourage you to do that. A lot of people have already said, well, what's the point in standing up and talking about this? We've heard it all. The decisions have already been made. People are tired of it. And you know, the bottom line is, this is a lot of money. This is going to cost us all at least $100 million to pay for it. And it's going to cost more because there are going to be problems with sewage connections and other things once they actually get into it and the cost overruns come in. Basically, for many of us, this feels like a pork project that has not been modified despite years of public discussion and things like that. So what's the end game here? What do we want, first of all, from the council? From the city council, I want you to say no to a bad plan. It's your right. It's your authority. It's the right thing to do, and it's always the time to do the right thing. Secondly, I want you to send a message that you listen, that you're accountable to your public, that other people in this county who hold elective offices should listen to. And you can help restore faith in government that has been badly damaged by this whole process by saying no. People have said that the public doesn't matter, that only rich and powerful special interests matter in this community. I think they're wrong, and I want you to help prove that. I want you to prove that you can listen to the public and say, yeah, we can say no. It's not the end of the world if we say no to this zoning project because perhaps something better can come out of it. Perhaps a more responsive government. Perhaps more transparency. Perhaps more government accountability. Perhaps, God forbid, public involvement in public decision-making and public expenses. That's the message that you can send today by saying no. You can help restore public faith. You can help restore the belief that people can address public entities and get a response, not just a cold shoulder or a shaken scolding from a power figure. So what I'm asking for you today is say, hey, this is a bad plan. It's a bad plan on a bad site with bad planning, and golly gee, we're just not going to approve it there. I think that's what your public hopes that you'll do, and that's certainly the message that I want to get across to you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person on the list is Jack Meany. Is Jack still here?
My name is Jack Meany. I live at 1920 Ohio Boulevard in Terre Haute, Indiana. And if I may paraphrase rather loosely a comment made by the distinguished Councilman Todd Nation, I'm not sure I can get this thing done. I'm not sure the city council can get it done either. It's already been pointed out that you do not have the right to choose a site. But you do have the right to say no to a site in the city that makes no sense at all. And so I want to make two very short points. Number one, the new jail should be built here on the city government campus. And I want everybody who believes in that to raise your hand. Thank you. Second point I'd like to make is I believe that it's a sin, if you want to call it that. It's a mistake, whatever, to spend $60 million on a jail that should cost about half that amount. So I am very much opposed to spending this great amount of money on a mega jail that we don't really need. And I believe I have some support for that as well. How many people think we should not spend $60 million on a new jail? Thank you.
Thank you. The next person on the list is Lisa Spinsmanet.
Lisa Spence-Bennett, 220 Barton Avenue, Terre Haute. Council President Crossan, members of the City Council, good evening, and thank you for your time. The Comprehensive Zoning Ordinance for Terre Haute lists as its second intent and purpose to encourage the most appropriate use of land. Interestingly, though, the first intent and purpose listed for this ordinance is to promote public health, safety, morality, convenience, and the general welfare. These are principles that I know are important to you along with your fiscal responsibilities. I've seen that many times now. In fact, I've come to believe, as others have said, that the Terre Haute City Council is the most effective, transparent, and caring body of local government. You're also courageous. You fought hard to make sure that the city's finances have begun to improve. And you stuck to your guns when two commissioners tried to go around our own local ordinances to rezone the IP property for the jail last year. So here we are again considering a request for rezoning land for a new jail. Let's think about public safety, public health, and the general welfare of the community in regard to this request, along with your role as fiscal agent for the city. The way this project is going, with this rezoning proposal in mind, the following seems to be true. One, the jail will be built in a location unnecessarily separated from the other elements of our criminal justice system, resulting in higher cost and time inefficiency for city police and others. And yet there is room to build this facility centrally on the courthouse site. Two commissioners, and the mayor, by the way, seem to have studiously avoided the opportunity to build a combined facility for the police, the sheriff's office, and the jail. Such a facility could cost less in total, the county could build it, and the city could lease the necessary space. We could still rethink this, but if you approve this rezoning request, we will lose that opportunity forever, along with millions of TIF funds that will be required to build a separate police station. Three, the estimated costs for this jail are much higher than the cost of other similar projects in other similar communities. As a result, local taxpayers, your constituents, are likely paying tens of millions of dollars more for the proposed design without explanation. It would take a few weeks to consider a redesign, but if you approve this request, our two commissioners will never consider any other option. Four, the opportunity to fund services for those with drug and or mental health problems and our homeless population is being squandered or significantly risked because two commissioners prefer to build a much larger jail rather than prioritizing funding and process changes to keep people out of it. If we build a 500-bed jail without meaningful attention to the kinds of root issues I've mentioned, more of our citizens, your citizens, will be in jail. All of these elements touch on either your financial responsibilities or some of those first elements listed as the purpose for the zoning ordinance: public health, public safety, and the general welfare of the community. Approving this request works against the purposes the zoning ordinance intends to preserve. Taking the approach the Commissioners Anderson are taking is a failure for this community. Their approach will cost your constituents tens of millions of dollars more than may be necessary. Their approach adds risk and decreases the efficiency of our public safety operations. Their approach ignores the public health, public safety, and the welfare of tens of thousands of people in this community. And why is that? You know, I don't think any of us can really say, except that it serves one single, inexplicably narrow goal of two county commissioners. In zoning matters such as this one, I've seen many times now how you care for the community. As you try to meet the needs of one party in considering such matters, you ensure that the rights and needs of others are protected. That's what zoning is about, isn't it? It's what the purpose mentioned before addresses. Our community needs your protection now. Our two commissioners plan to build a larger jail than necessary, away from the rest of the criminal justice system operation, does not serve the city of Terre Haute or its citizens. As you consider this request, please be caring and courageous, as you always are. When it comes time to vote on this ordinance, please do what you know is right. Thank you. I just want to, you know, I don't know why the county government works in such a fashion that our citizens keep washing up on your shores to get you to protect the citizens of the community, but apparently that's how it works. I want to say that that being the case, I'm certainly glad that you all are here for us to consider these matters. And one reason I'm especially glad is that I know that when you vote, you will explain why you are voting the way that you're voting, and we will understand what your interests are for the community. Thank you again. Thank you.
The next citizen on the list for comment is Liz Brown.
Hello, my name is Liz Brown. I live at 2129 North 11th Street in Terre Haute. And I'm not going to speak specifically to zoning, but it's related. When I think about a jail being placed at the very edge of town, I want you to think about our city police. I mean, I'm a resident of Terre Haute. You're the fiscal body. I'd like you to think about the potential costs. I don't think those have been determined or even really thought about. How much more is it going to cost the city of Terre Haute in transporting miscreants to the jail, bringing them back to the courthouse? How much time is going to be used up by police doing that driving? Over 60% of the jail population comes from arrests by our Terre Haute police. And that will just add more time, right, to each arrest, and will probably reduce response times, making our community actually less safe. So if I were sitting there and trying to think about this rezoning, I would want to think about what are the costs going to be. Have those even been considered or figured out? And what about the response times that will inevitably, right, increase? Thank you.
Thank you. Alex Cantrell is next on the list.
I'm Alex Cantrell, county resident, 3483 Autumn Ridge Road. And I just want to share something that was told to me about 2 weeks ago. I was walking down a hotel hallway carrying a piece of pizza in Krakow, Poland, with a woman who inspires many of us. And she asked me what my aspirations were, and I said, maybe eventually a political career. And she started asking me questions. And the thing that stuck out to me that I want to plant as a seed for you guys is, if you can find a way to spend money and not make the world bankrupt, you will be a hero. So when voting on this rezoning, please keep that in mind. Thank you.
The next person on the list, and I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble reading your last name. Steve Schroeder? Yes. Troy? Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Okay.
I can share the number that Jeff was looking for. We've agreed to pay up to $50,000 for the cost of the road from Honey Creek Drive back to the entrance of the property, recognizing that that road would also be used by people for other lots we own.
Thank you very much. Then the next person to comment on this is Rosemary Scott.
Hi, I'm Rosemary Scott, and my address is 209 Highland Court, Terre Haute, Indiana. I'm not a citizen of Terre Haute, but I am a resident of the county. I decided to speak tonight because, although I agree with most of these arguments that we've been talking about them in the community for years now, I think we need to focus on what's before you tonight, which is the zoning question. And when I first heard this, I shook my head. I thought, the jail behind the mall? And that pretty much sums it up for almost all the citizens that I talk to. I'm with a group who registers people to vote all over the state, but mostly here in Vigo County. And I can tell you that I think I've met one person that thinks that's a good idea. I'm sure all of you have had friends and neighbors, had people at all these meetings express all these feelings about, we want it on the government campus, that land will cost more money to be developed. But, and all of that may or may not be true, depending on what side of the issue you are. If you own that property, of course you think it's a good idea, you want to sell it. But I think you really just need to step back and make this very simple. If you were to put this on the ballot and ask the citizens of Terre Haute who all elected you, hey, is this a good idea to build the jail behind the mall? What do you think they'd say? Because you're their voice. I think they'd say no. Goodness, whose idea was that? So that's what I want you to do. I want you to think to yourselves, if this was on the ballot. I have a pamphlet here that we use to try to encourage people to vote. And right here on the front it says vote. It's a four-letter word. Well, zone is also a four-letter word. And I really think that if you take all of these other things out of the equation, you're going to come up with this is not the best use for this land. I wonder if anybody has polled the other commercial businesses in that area. I mean, is that fair to them? Is that fair to the people that just bought the mall that, oh, now we're going to put the jail there? I know it weighs heavy on all of you, but your decision isn't part of the commissioner's mistake or if you think the commissioner's made a good move. It is for Terre Haute. It is for the best use of that land. And I'm sure we can come up with something that's a lot better than the jail. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lind, your name is next on the list, but I'm assuming that that was an error. Okay. The next person after that is Pat Goodwin.
Good evening. Pat Goodwin, 2215 North 10th Street. I understand that you've probably been told that your responsibility here is a narrow scope of defining whether a piece of property is an appropriate use as a jail. I would challenge that notion because it's not just a jail. It's your jail, and it's our jail, and we're all going to have to pay for it. City police deliver 70 to 80% of the inmates to that jail. And moving it from its current location to the very southwest corner of the city will increase average response times or average travel times by 50%. Now, that's on the way there, transporting the prisoner, and that's also going back to their assigned beat. That's a lot of time lost. In addition, city police will have to transport prisoners from the jail to this courtroom. That's something that obviously right now is happening by foot. But that will require a transport vehicle. And my understanding is the city police department does not currently have a vehicle such as that and does not have the staff to operate a vehicle such as that. So it is the council's responsibility to consider the cost to the citizens of Terre Haute. And it is the council's responsibility to consider the increase in response time that it will create with our city police officers. Voting yes on this is voting to increase the cost of city government while reducing the quality of city services. It's not your job to provide leadership on how the city government is supposed to operate. That's the mayor's job. But the mayor has made it clear that he does not wish to lead on this issue. And the fact that he's not here tonight is proof of that. I'm asking you all to lead on this issue. If you don't vote tonight, and I ask that you do not vote tonight, you have a month. Could you please try to bring the parties together to have a discussion about doing what is sensible for our community? And if I may approach, I have a handout. I apologize that you all can't see this. I'll hold it up. You probably won't be able to see it, but I'll describe it as best I can. What I've just handed out is an aerial photo that has the footprint of a jail on the northwest quadrant of this government complex. You know what? I've got enough. I can pass one each way. Okay, let's see if I've got enough to keep one for myself here. I'm out. So I can. Okay, I'll get to you. Because we need to debunk some information that has been disseminated, and that is that there's not enough room to put that jail right over there. So what I did was I put the footprint of a jail that's being built in Saginaw, Michigan, that happens to be almost exactly the same size as the jail that's being proposed, on that parking lot. Saginaw, Michigan has twice as many residents as Vigo County and has a higher crime rate. So I think it's safe to say there would be no reason for us to need a jail bigger than Saginaw. It probably ought to be smaller. But as you can see, not only will that jail fit on that property, but you could actually put it far enough into the corner that it would be significantly further away from the planned Turn to the River project than the current jail is. Now, this is a multi-story building. The county, up to this point, has been unwilling to consider that, but if any of you went to hear the sheriff from Saginaw speak, in his opinion, a vertical three-story building is more efficient and can be staffed with fewer people. Now, I just want to provide that to you just so that you can say, we're not just saying no to everything. There is a good solution here, and that is to put it basically right where it is. It's fairly central, and we can do it. And it just requires cooperation between the city and the county and the City Department of Redevelopment, who currently owns that piece of property. So, in closing, I don't have an axe to grind here. I just want people to have the truth, and I want everybody to try to do what's best for the citizens of Terre Haute. Right now, I just don't think we're getting either. And I would just ask for your help over the next month to get this problem solved. Thank you.
We've come to the end of our list of public comment, people who signed up for public comment. If there is anyone else who would like to make public comment, you may do so at this time. Just again, please state your name and your address. Thank you.
My name is Karen Robuck, and I live out in the county. I have never set foot in this building until the controversy over the jail started. And I was so impressed with all of you, with your reasoning, with your voting. But the issue with the jail makes no sense at the mall. It is going to cost us twice as much, and it is going to reduce the safety of not only the city of Terre Haute, but Vigo County. I live way out on the northeast side of the county. And like I said, I've been to these meetings, and I'm impressed with all of you and your professionalism, but I'm begging you, please, do not rezone that for the jail. Let's keep it here, because that's what makes sense. That's what's right. Vote your hearts. It's never too late to say, this is not right. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the public who would like to comment?
This is about the jail. I'm Kevin Southwood.
What's your address, sir?
What?
Your address, please.
1638 7th Avenue, Terre Haute, Indiana. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we heard about the jail when it was first built. It wasn't built right. Then they done a redesign on it. There were some problems with that again. And so now we're supposed to be led to believe that this one is going to be exactly 100%. You know, to me, the problem with everything is, like, we ought to have jails that all across this country, every state, you take all the positive things, you do all the positive things, you take all the negative things, you remove all the negative things. You don't put negative things in and problems in and have an architect design this that they don't know what they're doing, or have an engineer that should have done something else. You take what's good and you accept it, and what's bad, you reject it. But, you know, if all the jails across this country, you know, if you built a jail exactly the same, you could expand it, you could contract it on population, and no architect would be at fault because they were doing something in the air, or no engineer would have a problem because they really don't understand about, you know, something that they're not accustomed to. So, you know, you have a jail system where, you know, they're all made identical, because after all they do is keep people in jail, you know. And so you have jails that you want to have a solid foundation. You got murderers and rapists and child molesters, or say something like that, you know. So you want to keep them in hardened cells. The rest of the people, like our county jail, that, you know, I don't know, 70-80% of them are in there because they can't afford bail. Get them out of jail, make them go work for Habitat for Humanity or something, and let them pay that bail off. So they don't need to be in jail, you know. But at the same time, we don't need to build a 500 jail, man jail that is identical to keeping a murderer or rapist in that holding facility, as you have somebody that's nonviolent. You know, somebody that's nonviolent, you could put them in a room like this and lock the door, and you don't have to have all that expense as you're trying to make sure that a murderer or a rapist or a terrorist doesn't escape onto the public. To make sure that you have all these cells that are identical to, how you would want to keep a rapist or a murderer or a terrorist, out of the public, you know, it makes no sense. It's a lot of waste of money.
Thank you. I think we have one more.
Chris Schweitzer, 2695 South McCall Place, West Terre Haute, 4785. Just keep in mind when we're talking about best use of the property. United Way has stated we're one of the poorest communities in the state. When you leave jail, you're normally walking somewhere if you can't get a ride. 2.5 miles away, that's a long walk back to the city of Terre Haute, especially if most of the people in jail are city residents. How are they going to get there? You're not going to put a bus line there every hour. So please keep that in mind. And this has been a big deal for me, so I won't say too much. But I don't think that's a good place to put it. I think there can be a deal made, and I wish you guys over the next month, if you don't vote on it tonight, challenge the commissioners, challenge your mayor, and, you know, hold a meeting. We can all do that. And let's discuss something and make something happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the public who would like to make a statement? Okay. We'll turn it into council, but first I just want to make sure with our clerk and legal counsel that we do need to vote on this tonight if we're going to take action. Is that correct? Okay. And also I needed to clarify, would we also need to vote to amend? Okay. Thank you.
And if, just to clarify, if you do amend, you still have to take further action.
Okay. So if we do not intend to take action tonight, we would not amend tonight. Okay. Thank you very much for that clarification. Council. Yes. Jeff, did you have something else that you wanted to share with us?
Did you have something else you wanted to say, Jeff?
Only if you have specific questions for the comments that were raised. I've spoken to the mall. Mm-hmm. Steve has spoken to the retailers. But I'd like to hear what questions you have. I did want to mention that you're all really sharp dressers.
So, yes. Just a question.
Councilperson Morris.
If this was defeated, what's to stop the commissioners of putting it outside the county on their own property?
Right. I mean, that's one of the points that I wanted to make. A vote against...
Is that likely to happen?
I have been told, yes, that it would be outside the city. And the point being, and I spoke to at least one of you about this, I know there are feelings involved in just nearly every public action we do, but if you take all the feelings out and look at this objectively, the IP site, during the IP site discussions, this very site was identified as a viable alternative, a worthwhile alternative, both by council members and speakers in opposition to the IP site. And the county approached the owner of that property and was surprised that they could get it for less than the cost of average of two appraisals. And if this is denied, it just seems to me that I can't imagine the county not viewing that as having seen the goalpost moved. And I can't imagine they'd take a chance to come back to the council for zoning anywhere when they, if they move it in the county, it's the county that makes the zoning decisions.
I know.
Councilwoman Aller, excuse me.
Okay. There's a few points here I want to go over and try to answer, and I know people brought up things. I guess my district has drawn the lucky straw the last two times. I represent the first district. When it first came up about going to the IP property, first of all, let's rewind here a minute. I take pride in all the transparency that we have here on this council. I know a lot of us take pride in our district. I know a lot of us take time to go out into our districts and listen to the people. When it got brought up to come to the IP property, I listened to those people in that district. I went out to their houses, the people that lived, that was going to be directly involved every day with this jail being across the street from them. I held an open house at the county annex for people to come in and talk to us. And I listened to them. And I voted against the IP property because the people had concerns. And my vote is for the people in that first district. So I went against that. Second of all, public safety. If anybody knows me, they know public safety is one of my major, my heart's with public safety.
So with that being said, with this, I have to look at this as we are zoning a property. As far as the building size, as far as the anything, the main concern is, my main concern is that zoning and those people that that's going to affect down there in my district. I asked for addresses tonight because one of the main things that I asked for the addresses is I've not had one email, I've not had one call, I've not had one complaint from any of the retail places down there, any of the people that live down there that would be affected by this. So one of the reasons I asked tonight for addresses because I wanted to make sure to see if there was anybody here tonight that lived in the first district. I know we all have a tough decision. I have a tough decision, especially with it being, you know, directly in my district. But those are just some of the things that I wanted to touch on right now that, you know, we do listen. I do listen. I take pride in listening. I promise to have an open door to my district, and I will always have an open door to that district. So, with that being said, I yield.
Thank you.
Madam President, I will try and be louder this time since I apparently speak softly. Commissioner Kearns, can I pick on you for a minute? Do you mind? I apologize, but I believe you're the only one of the three commissioners in attendance right now. A lot of the people who have approached me on this issue and a lot of people in this room tonight have come here with a, I guess a premise, for lack of a better word, that this could be a, if not here on the government campus, type of situation, one or the other. I know your position, and I apologize. I don't mean to pick on you, but you're the only commissioner here, as I said.
I understand.
I know the three of you took a vote on the spot at Stu's, and I know you were the one who voted against, if I'm correct. That experience, that voting experience, I believe you were quoted, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, stating that you did not believe that this location was given consideration compared to the other two locations that were being considered. Would that be accurate?
It is accurate. I do want to share, I appreciate the opportunity to be pulled up here.
Sorry.
I had a visit with my cardiologist this morning. I said everything's okay. I think I will be revisiting him tomorrow. In respect for the system, I am one of three commissioners. For 2 hours, we discussed that vote. I advocated for this property.
By this you mean?
I apologize, for the government campus.
Thank you.
I felt that I strongly represented the majority of the residents of Vigo County. In that case, my vote was in the minority. I was asked towards the end of the discussion what I would pick as a concession property, and my weight went towards the golf course project, your property. Reason being, infrastructure is already there. There'd be minimal impact. It would be more cost-effective to do it there than the Spring Hill location. Today, a discussion came up that touched on what was brought up earlier. Will the commissioners force this out into the county? I don't think that was answered appropriately. We haven't had that discussion collectively as a what's next. And when I say collectively, those discussions may have been held, but I simply have not been invited to those discussions. We cannot afford to put a jail in the industrial park. The infrastructure costs are going to be astronomical. And I say that anecdotally because I'm not qualified, but in discussions with the people involved, such as Ralph Lagle and Eric Ratz with DLZ, when you look at how much it's going to cost to get the water, the sewer, the T1 line for the IT system, the internet systems, you're looking at a lot of money to put something in the industrial park. Ideally, again, I would like it here, but in respect for the system, the government process, the vote went towards another facility.
You mentioned the problems with the industrial park. It wouldn't make sense to go there, but I feel over the last 3 years, a lot of things have not necessarily made sense regarding this project.
I look at it this way, Councilman DeBond. If you want to sell a bad idea, throw out a really bad idea initially. And I think that's kind of how this worked. When the original site that we discussed was the International Paper property, I'm sorry, the Industrial Park property, that was a horrible idea. You're yards away from Sullivan County. Would have been a great time to make one jail for both counties. You know, Sullivan's looking at one. We're not going to do that. When I made a comment about doing a regional one, when I was asked a question about it, police friends of mine thought I was ready to go to the loony bin. But I may be well on my way. But putting it at the far south end is ridiculous. Points made about officers having to go to a facility down south. And, Steve, you know better than anybody, how far north do you guys go? So to go from the northern part to the south would take, what, 20 minutes? With lights on, you can get, well, you're not going to run lights on to the jail. But I need to keep going back to the fact that we did our part, we did the vote. It didn't go the way that I feel it should have gone, and I have to respect that. I don't know what you even asked me, Curtis.
And I want to apologize. I don't mean
to. No, it's fine.
I don't mean to pick on the commissioners as well. I really don't mean to do that.
In all fairness, Commissioner Judy Anderson had a scheduled conference in Indianapolis. I'm just sharing that. And Commissioner Brad Anderson had a situation that possibly kept him from being here tonight. I don't think they're intentional.
I spoke with Commissioner Anderson, and he made it to where he couldn't attend tonight. And I do want to reemphasize, I don't mean to pick on the commissioners. I think government works better
when we're all
working together
this.
Than opposed.
Sure.
So I don't mean to do that. But I do want the question I want to ask, and I know you can't really answer, but
I'll try.
I believe I met with Commissioner Anderson for the sake of transparency, and I hope everyone in here who knows me.
Which Commissioner Anderson?
I apologize. I met with Brad. I am at a point personally where I simply do not believe the commissioners as a whole will consider this current government campus as an alternative, as a possibility.
As a whole? No. I mean, well, I can't say that.
And I know you can't necessarily speak for the other commissioners, but I spoke with Brad. I contacted a couple of county council people as well. I know Chris's and Lisa's positions. I've spoken with them both about that previously. But I wanted to reach out to a couple of other county council people, and those conversations reinforced my belief that it's not going to happen, regardless of what I, you, anybody in this room feels. Now, having said that, I have to, it's my job, I have to ask the question, if the jail is going to be built, and it is not going to be built on the government campus, where will it be built? And I have to consider that. Many people in the audience spoke referring to transportation costs and tax dollars because of the distance from the courthouse to the jail. That could be worse. It could. I mean, that's a possibility. And from the conversations I have had with the people who have more authority to place this wherever it be, I find it much more likely that it would be built further from the courthouse than closer if this is voted down. I'm not saying I'm happy with that. I'm telling you that's what I truly believe through the conversations I have recently had. If you would like to speak on that, you certainly may.
Well, I mean, I don't know what to believe anymore. I ran for office from council because this was a concern. I'm incredibly transparent. I probably talk way too much. But I look at this personally. I was against the local option income tax because it wasn't sold to the public properly. And we're one of the, if not arguably, poorest counties in the state of Indiana. I came here tonight to discuss the homeless issue. There are many reasons why the numbers are increasing. And I know a lot of my police friends thought that I was anti-police. I'm far from that. But what I wasn't for was taking money away from people, wage earners, people that worked their tails off to support their family to build a jail. Unfortunately, police and firefighters were used. They were brought into this to sell it, because if you voted against it, you are against police and firefighters. And I voted against it, and I still live with that stigma. And I try to explain to people, that's not the case, but that's what happened. And that's part of the public service that sucks. That when you try to do what's right for the collective, things are misconstrued, and it doesn't work out that way.
Well, I certainly agree with you.
And I think all of you can relate to that. This is a perfect exercise in that. When it came to the vote time, I wanted to see a direct cost comparison between what could be built at the government campus compared to two other sites, the Spring Hill property and the golf course. I never saw it. We had a lot of money invested in the Spring Hill site. We had good numbers there. When Mr. Shorey, and he's a great guy, I tell you, if you want a guy that's trying to sell something for you, he's your man. He came in and built his case on his property, and I agree with him. It's a great choice, and he threw out a good price. So what I'm getting at is we had two numbers to work with. We didn't have three. And there's this constant conjecture about redevelopment owning this, and you'll hear that the redevelopment's not going to sell or the city owns it. That is balderdash. Conversations have been had. No letter of intent has been signed. But if I was a city council member, what I would do is have those conversations between now and that vote time to see if, in fact, it is an option, and then look at it. My concern is this. We're going to bankrupt this community. We cannot afford more and more taxes. I've asked my friends on the council, I told them, quit fighting about the location. You need to focus on whether or not you can even run this thing. Now, we have a general idea what the jail is going to cost. Okay? We're not really sure what it's going to cost to operate. And then we talk about off-site locations, something I learned through this process, because we held a forum, an executive forum, to get everybody in the room together, was you got to have public defenders, if you have a public defender case, in the video conferencing room. So then we're going to have a date where the county council is going to be approached, one to increase the public defender staff. Well, when that comes, you're going to have an increase in the prosecutor staff. And we're just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So those are things that, yes, this is about zoning, but this is also about the future of our community. I'm not going to go up here and say, vote no. I won't do that out of respect for the process, and I needed to stay true to that. But I'm up here talking, aren't I? I don't know. I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough. I'm genuinely concerned about the future of our community. And as office holders, we have to make the right decisions. I've kind of conceded on the jail project. I'm involved in discussions. Wherever the ground breaks, I want to work with Ralph. I tell you, Garmon guys are great. They've been great to work with. But my focus is going to be on energy efficiencies. I want to see some solar. I want to see some alternative energy power that facility, whether it be here or down south. I don't know. I'll be involved, but I've got to respect the process, and the vote went 2-1 to that other property.
And I agree. I'd rather be focusing on more positive issues right now. I certainly would. I'll yield. Thank you for letting me pick your brain a little bit.
Sure. And I do appreciate you, Curtis. You do a great job.
Thank you for that.
Councilperson Morris.
Well,
hi, Don.
And Curtis, Brendan, I don't know if this is for Pat or anybody, but
I've got some friends in the federal prison who their jobs, not in the federal prison.
I've got one.
Work for the federal prison. And they directed me to a couple gentlemen who designed prisons all over the United States for the feds. And they ended every conversation with, regardless of how many beds you do, increase it by 25 to 30%, because inevitably that's going to happen. You're going to need that.
Sure.
So anyway, I'm looking at 510 beds on Mr. Goodwin's plat here. And if you took the three stories and stacked them side by side, you've got room. So, and you can, it might, why don't we have a design for a pod system on here for 510 beds?
I don't know.
I mean, that, well, I mean, and I haven't, and I'm guilty, I haven't seen the current design that they paid to have done. But I mean, if you look at this, the Saginaw, which I don't believe in three stories, I think from what they told me, the pod system's more economical, it's safer for the prisoners, and it's safer. I'm sorry?
Pod system.
I'm sorry?
Saginaw is a pod system.
It is a pod system. Well, anyway, but if you took the three stories, you could still get it on this property from your design.
Okay.
Why?
Saginaw operates with half the staff.
Okay, let's...
Well,
let's,
and I understand the pod system, and that's what they said, is it's more economical as far as staffing, and it's safer, and the safety issue was a big issue. But if you look at this, we could fit three stories on this property.
Okay.
Or one story each on... Okay. So we're not. So if we table this for a month, could I get the answer why it won't work to have 510 beds on this property?
I asked to see how it would work, and I never. Yes, you can do it. I mean, I think you can. Our attorney Michael Wright's here. You could ask Michael if that's feasible in the next 30 days, or Eric. I'm really in an awkward spot.
So we need 475 beds, is that right? I mean, that
501 is what we're at. 505?
Oh,
505. 425, 678.
So we got five beds to spare compared to Saginaw.
We have zero beds for our homeless issues and in mental health treatment facility. So that's something we need to consider, too.
Why not the IP property for the homeless?
Oh, come on. I mean, oh, for the homeless area?
Yeah.
No. The IP property should be used for what it was purchased for the good of the community, for recreation, for development. It should be used to...
And not to help the homeless.
No, I mean, there's so many places, Don, to do that. I mean, it is...
Well, there's places to put a prison, too.
Right? Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So, I mean, again, we can have that debate forever.
But it's...
But I'm just saying that by this diagram, we could put three of these on here.
Sure. I did a video. Some of you may have seen it. 83,000 people viewed it, where I did a silly walk on a Sunday afternoon in the parking lot and counter parking spaces and did the math. And unlike my good friend Pat Goodwin, who has a degree in engineering from Rose-Hulman, I was able to figure it out that we could do this. So when Pat looks at it and gives the schematics and stuff, it just further, I mean, it adds efficacy to it. Can it be done? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
I do.
But that's... Yeah. Hi, Earl.
Somebody from the county ultimately is going to have to approve the cost of the new jail.
Yes.
I presume that's the county council. Okay. I have, you know, this article I was given last time this came up. We talked about the jail, the last rezoning. And you had indicated you don't have the operating costs?
I don't. The projected operating cost? Do I? I don't
the
have.
Jail?
I have. No. I do? The projected operating cost for the current design? Yeah,
Mike.
Okay. This article basically says over the 30-year life of a correctional facility, the cost of construction is only about 10% of the total construction cost plus the operating cost over that time period.
Right.
So that means if it's $10 million total, it's $1 million construction, $9 million operations, and of that, $7.8 million is salary.
Sure.
So it just behooves me to, that's not the right word, I guess I just don't understand how you could make a decision about a construction cost without knowing what the operating costs are going to be.
I entirely
primarily
agree.
Your number of personnel.
Of course.
And that's directed, I guess, more towards a, I mean, that's not a city council decision. We don't have any say in what happens there. That's a county council.
Sure, you absolutely don't. Yeah, you're right. But I think collectively we need to work together to make sure that we make the right decision for the future of the community. Yeah, which is part of the process.
Basically, what I'm saying is we really don't have a dog in the fight, or we don't have a vote in the fight.
I don't know.
I mean, we could approve the rezoning of that property, but it may not even be built there. So that just creates the possibility that it could be.
I will share that... the commissioners collectively are looking at building the facility that we can afford. And what I mean by that is we have had discussions to cut costs. Some things have increased, but we've made adjustments. The county commissioners are wanting to present a facility that is the most cost-effective. I have seen that firsthand.
But you can afford and also afford to operate.
Exactly, but then you have to get clear figures on what the operating costs are.
I yield.
Brendan, before you go away.
Are we still having, we're not going to have lunch tomorrow now, are we?
Depends what your answer is.
I really need a water now. Anybody can, I keep looking underneath there for a bottle of water.
This is an easy one.
Okay.
Just to focus a little bit on the property that we are to be discussing, is there, I'm wondering about the odor in that area. I've heard this a time or two, but I've never really heard anything factual. Is there any odor?
You know, I'm a river guy. I mean, is there an odor occasionally? Yeah, but I don't know if it's really that bad there. I was out there today with my little postal Jeep with the side doors opened up, you know, looking awesome, of course. But the only thing I could smell was the exhaust from my Jeep. I think, what did you guys spend, $200 million on that wastewater facility?
I mean, I don't
see that being an issue, personally.
I don't think it's bad either, but no. I'm not there every day, and I'm not there 24/7, so I'm just curious.
You know, so the 13th and Hallman site was one that I thought was a good site, but the argument was, the odors from hydrite or if hydrite has a spill. You know, it doesn't matter where you put a facility. There's going to be some kind of environmental argument, and that's it's not really a NIMBY thing. It's just what it is. Okay. But I think it's good to have those discussions for the what ifs.
Okay.
I read something somebody wrote, whether it be an editorial or social media, that you know it's going to be inhumane to put them next to a sewage plant. I haven't noticed any issues with that.
Okay. That's really all I have for you, Brendan. We can still go to lunch if you want. If you buy,
I have a meeting with somebody else tomorrow. But realistically, though, as a concession property, it's a good property.
Okay.
It's doable. There was a hiccup with a storm, or what was that, big sewer line? And so you moved the jail 20 feet, and it worked? I mean, it...
Okay.
I love you, man. You know,
I have more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Not for you. I mean, you can feel it.
I just got my water. I'm ready to go. Am I done now?
To go along with Councilman Morris's question on the if this were to be voted down, where would this go? And looking at this site, Mr. Goodwin handed out, if we were to look at this site, this location, would this have to be rezoned? I'm assuming that it would.
Mm-hmm.
No.
There's a jail.
I think redevelopment owns it. Well, I'm confused about that because doesn't the county own most of that lot?
Let me just say, we do have our attorney here, and maybe he can speak to that.
Don't hold me to this, but I believe that the, I think we're C8 here. I think it specifically somehow allows for a jail. I'll have to double check that. That discussion came up over a year ago.
Okay. I can speak to Jared's opinion at Area Plan. He said there are no sites zoned P Penitentiary. The jail and its current location is a pre-existing use.
Okay. Thank you.
So most likely would have to be rezoned.
Yes.
Unless you put it exactly where that jail is.
Right. Okay. Right, that's what I expected. I agree, Garmong is good company, but I do want to ask this question. If it were to go that direction, this would actually change the shape of the jail and the pod systems and so on. Would this project have to be rebid?
It hasn't been bid yet.
It's never been.
It's never been to the point where it's capable of being bid. There's never been, an approved site for this project. So it's not. There are estimates, absolutely, as to construction costs, but it would be bid once all the design's done. There's a definitive site.
And Garmong did provide an overlay on this property, on the government campus property. They provided a design and put it on top of there, or Eric did. I forget which one of you did. Eric did it.
So it's an approximate design?
But it's not. I mean, is it fair to say, Eric, that that design is not what we're even looking at now anyway because it's changed?
It's very very grasping deal on the deck. We did take the design of what we did. We took the bits and pieces of it, and we laid it out onto the site to show every single space that you had. We put it over on the government center site.
Okay. Thank you.
But it's not the same thing that what Pat's shown.
Okay. I understand. All right, this is the last thing I want to say, too, just not necessarily for this council, but I think there's been an underground current that if we don't pass this, it's going to go further out in the county. I'm not asking.
Well, but that's come up several times, and that discussion has not been had with me in the commissioner's office. So
I just want to say that I hope those aren't real discussions, and if it is, I think that's very frustrating for what we're trying to do here, to try to do the right thing. So I'm not trying to sway anybody's vote in any way, but when I hear things like that, I think we need to, I don't know. It just really frustrates me to hear that. I yield for now.
I think Councilperson Nation was next.
Yeah, and I'll be brief. There's a lot of missing information in this scenario. Earl touched on some of it with operating costs, staffing costs. But one thing that hasn't been mentioned yet as part of this discussion is, what about the old jail? It's my understanding that if we build anywhere but the government campus, we're going to have to maintain cells in the old jail for when people are transported and have to come down and wait for court. Is that an accurate representation of how things are likely to work?
So you're asking me that, right?
Well, I guess I'm asking rhetorically. Let me just keep going.
So I've asked to see a plan, a vision plan for that facility. I've seen nothing. With my walk arounds of that building, the 2001 edition is in worse shape than the 1981 edition.
So you're saying the upstairs is worse than the downstairs?
Yeah, the new section.
Yeah.
What, that jail's what, 18 years old and it's already falling apart? Interesting. I personally would like to see that 2001 section tore down, and then the 1981 section, 911 is in the basement. They need to be pulled out of it. We can't move that tower. That tower's there. Bring 911 up, and if we're going to keep that facility, use that for social services type of place of some sort. That could be the day shelter we talked about earlier. It could be used for CASA. CASA, unfortunately, they're growing, and that's an unfortunate thing. They need space. It could be a location. Just as a First in Ohio property could have been a location for that, too, if we were able to buy that. But that didn't work out. I thought it would be a great place for a police station. Give the city that building and say, here you go. Here's a new opportunity for a police station. But my understanding is inmates are going to be brought from the off-site location. They're going to be held here, and then that will be used as a holding facility. But if that building is unconstitutional now, the infrastructure is antiquated. We had a sewer line collapse because it was one of the clay tiles a month or so ago, and they had to do emergency repair on that. The utilities are through the roof because of the antiquated equipment. Where's the money going to come from to continue to operate that structure? You know, it said that we'd use it for storage. Okay. That's fine, but documents need a controlled environment. They're not in a controlled environment right now, which is unfortunate. But I've seen no business plan for that. But that's something that we need to do to figure out what's going to be done with that building. I mean, demolition cost was, what, $4 or $5 million? Do we have an estimate on that, Michael?
We do have an estimate on that.
I know I'm making your guys' head spin back there, but... Yes, sir. So $1 million to tear it down, probably. Okay. Ralph's going to do it for $700,000. So I don't know. I don't know what the plan for that building is.
Well,
but this is stuff that should have been figured out before we decided what we're going to build jail.
And that's my point. Those are costs that everybody should know as part of this discussion.
Sure.
Wherever the jail is to go. And, you know, it all gets simpler if it just stays here on the government campus. I yield.
Sir, can I ask one more question?
Sure.
What if it gets to the point where we can't make a decision or you can't make a decision? Does the judge have the right to choose a location? No?
Michael?
Mm-hmm. I mean, is that even... How many times have you been asked that?
A few. Yeah. The judge, under the Prison Litigation Reform Act, has the ability, if she views the county not taking the steps that it represented it would, she has the power to appoint a three-judge panel. And that three-judge panel can institute a hard cap at our current facility, meaning that, you know, in our 268-bed facility, 2 days ago we had 290 people.
Right.
So they could say that hard cap is now 200 people. So every time a person comes in that makes that number 201, you have to let somebody out. And I don't know that the judge can pick a site, but she can make everybody squirm with other measures that would only impact the bottom line of this community from
I was just curious.
Yeah.
Thank you. I yield.
Just like to make a couple of comments. First of all, I am concerned about, I do think this is different than many rezoning requests because it does involve a public use. And it involves a public use that costs money to the city, which is who I am here to act on behalf of and for the city residents, as are my colleagues here. So I do think this one's a little different. I have had some conversations in the last week with a few county people as well, and one of those was with Brad Anderson. I do take to heart, and one of the reasons I had that conversation was that during this now over 2 years that I've been involved in conversations because of my position on city council about this issue, I have never been directly contacted by a county official, except for Mike, who called me to ask me if I would sign the original rezoning request. And I had one conversation about 2 years ago with Brad Anderson in a parking lot, which I initiated on this subject. Additionally, I had one contact from Craig McKee on behalf of then Sheriff Greg Ewing on this matter. And also during that time, I have received comments in public forums, and also one meeting that I had just this week with Brad Anderson, which I asked for. And Brad was very congenial. We had a cordial discussion. I don't want to mischaracterize that in any way. But during that discussion, and also at previous hearings in this room and at previous public forums, again, which were called by members of the public or groups from the public, I have had people say that somehow we as city council people are at risk in this litigation if we don't approve a particular rezoning request. And that doesn't sit very well with me. First of all, I'm not concerned about that very much. And I don't appreciate it at all being in the position of being told that I have to approve something because it's not the worst thing that could happen. And if somebody's saying that to me, I feel like they know that what they're essentially saying they're going to do if I don't do what they want me to do is that they're going to do something that they think is the worst thing that could happen. That concerns me a great deal. And so as I consider this issue, I've considered that. I've considered all the things that have been brought up here tonight, or many of them. I'm sure there's a few things that I haven't considered. I'd like to have more information. I just spent a day this week, a half a day one day and half a day the next day, in a planning effort by the Wabash Valley Community Foundation. And I did not bring this up. The group I was in was a group of people from Vigo County. And they were people that many of you here would know. I don't know if anyone's here who was in on that discussion. At one point in the process, we were talking about collaborative work and how if we collaborate, we can get to better decisions. We may not get to the favorite position of many of the people in the room, but we can get to a better decision for the whole. And at the end of that discussion, one of the individuals there, I hadn't said a word, one of the individuals there said, a case study for how not to do it is what we're doing on the jail. And so I would say that I am willing, between now and our August meeting, to ask representatives from the county and representatives from the city to meet and see if we can deal with this in some way that takes into consideration the collaborative needs of this community. And I'll leave it at that.
So you want me to make a motion to table?
No, need to.
I don't think we have to take any action at all unless we want to vote on it. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And it'll just be on second reading at our next meeting. So is there any sense of the group that you want to take action on this tonight?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Karen Nassar and seconded by Councilperson Todd Nation that we adjourn. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you all for coming.